Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
I'm going to get some of the younger folks' attention this morning when I say that Christmas creeps ever closer. But just what are we waiting for? Some of us are waiting for family to come. You know, sons, daughters, children of all ages, grandchildren. Some are waiting for aunts and uncles and others. Some are waiting for parents to come. We have a great anticipation of their coming, or we're thinking about making the trip that will reunite us with them. There's many things to be aware of this Christmas, and there are things that we all want, we all desire. You know, we go to Christmas parties, office parties, we have gatherings together where we come to remember the reason for the season. We are surrounded by all kinds of sights and sounds. The sounds of Christmas are all around us, and we've heard those this morning sung beautifully and from the heart. And then we see the lights, all the things that are in our neighborhoods where the people actually use blown up Santas with, you know, on motor scooters. When I was a child, Santa came with a sleigh. But you see all these things and you're in anticipation of what's next. What comes next? What are we waiting for? You know, the malls seem crowded more than usual, and everybody's looking for the perfect gift at the perfect price. We're all looking, searching, bumping up into one another, invading one another's space, doing all kinds of things we wouldn't normally do, but we want that gift. I saw a television commercial and showed people at Macy's, and they were all going through Macy's looking for sales, and they were ripping things out of each other's hands. And I thought, what happened to the spirit of Christmas? Where is Christ amidst all this commercialization? Well, we see it on radio, or hear it on radio, and see it on television. And all these specials and things that try to draw our attention to the coming of Christmas, they're trying to get us to buy something quickly or to send off in the mail, and it'll be there by Christmas time. We all are caught up in this anticipation. But what are we really waiting for? Are we waiting for a newborn babe? You know, I remember in the hospital when our children were born, we had natural birth in the hospital, and I was there. I know that all three of these kids were the issue of Sandra. As they grew taller and taller, I kept thinking, well, anyway. But they was there, and everybody would go to the window. You remember the window and they would stand on tiptoes trying to look at their baby. Is that what we're waiting for? If so, it's good. That's the kind of anticipation we're supposed to have. We're supposed to be straining to wait upon the Lord. But at the same time, we're not to understand waiting as simply not doing anything. You know, sometimes we misinterpret the Bible. It says, be still and know that God is God. Be still and know. Well, that doesn't mean be absolutely quiet, because we're supposed to be anticipating. We're supposed to be actively engaged in what God sent us to do. We must wait for them because God knows the time. It is for God to know the time. No one else knows it. Jesus himself said, no one knows the time except the Father, not even the Son. No one in heaven knows the time. We don't know. We have to wait. We have to wait. But you know, there's something good about waiting. What would have happened, do you think, if God had told Abraham, when he was a young man and just married to what would turn out to be his barren wife, Sarah, if he had told him, through you, all the world will be blessed. You will have a son, and that son will seed the earth. You will have a quiver full of children, and you will just, it will be wonderful. And then the years would have gone on and on and on and on, and his barren wife would have got older and older, and he would have got older and older, and finally then they were very, very, very old, well past childbearing age. God speaks to Sarah and says to Sarah and her husband, Abraham, Sarah's going to have a child. Sarah laughed. What else was there to do? She was well past the age of conceiving a child. She knew it. And so she said, well, no, no, not me. Stay away from me, you old man. Take my young, childbearing aged maid and have a child with her. And so he did, because he was a dutiful husband. He always did what his wife told him to do. But it wasn't God's way, and the handmaiden gave birth to a child, and its name was Ishmael. It was a man's choice, not God's. And then Sarah became surprised. She was surprised because morning sickness at her age was not necessarily morning sickness. She didn't think it was, but she was pregnant. She had a child. Now, you see, if God had told Abraham when he was young that that's going to happen in your old age, he probably would have become faint-hearted. He would not have believed God. But God, out of love, allowed Abraham all those years that would have been weary, all of those years to be in preparation for his promise. Isn't that the way it is with you? If you had all of the things of your life mapped out before you, if you knew everything you would be doing, if I had known, you know, when I was this big, that I would be standing in front of you today, I would have said, no, thank you, Lord. That stiff-necked and stubborn people, I don't want that. I want to stand in front of cheering crowds. And so I tried to do it my way. And I got to stand in front of 2,258 people every performance. 8 performances a week. Week after week, month after month, year after year. It wasn't God's way. It wasn't. I only knew that now, in my old age. Now I look back and think God has given me a sense of the surprise that Sarah had when she found herself pregnant. Surprise, you're here, you've got something to do. And that goes for all of us. If you're here, there's something for you to do. You may have to wait for it. You may not see it, anticipate it. You may not know that it's coming, but it's here. God has left you here for a purpose. The purpose is for you to share Christ, His only begotten Son, with everybody you meet. That is His purpose. Sometimes we just don't believe. Sometimes we don't want to wait. We feel like we've got cancer in our bodies. And why isn't God healing me? Or we've got heart disease. Why doesn't God heal me? Or we've got something, pain in our bodies, and we can't get any kind of relief, and we ask, why can't God do it now? I don't want to wait. I don't want to wait until I'm in heaven and nobody goes into heaven with any pain or cancer or heart disease, but I want it now. Why am I waiting? We see, waiting is a part of preparation. It allows us to appreciate God's gift for what it is. God loves us. We say, oh, well, yes, but my mother had cancer. My mother died of cancer. My father died of heart attacks. He had too many. One too many. He had 5 heart attacks. Took a lot to kill him. I used to take pride in that. It took a lot to kill him. No, it didn't. God kept him alive until he said what he said. My father's purpose was to tell me, to share with me, that he had been to 2 counties and a goat roping, and if the good Lord was ready to take him, he was ready to go. That was the last thing he ever said. It was for that moment, I truly believe, that God kept him alive, because he had not fulfilled his purpose in this world. So what are you waiting for today? Let us go before the Lord and ask. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We ask that you touch us in ways that we have never been touched before, that you would lift us up out of the dreariness of our lives and show us the glory that is in Jesus Christ, our Savior. May we see his light on every face reflected today. May we hear his voice, not mine, when we listen to the scriptures. May we know that it is from you that we receive the message of hope, the message of goodness, the message of justice, the message of mercy and grace and forgiveness. Cast my words out, Father, for they're just the words of a man. They're not worth anything. But we pray that everyone here will hear in their own language, the language that you placed in our heart, the language of love, that every person here will hear and catch the things your Spirit is here for us to have today. He's the one who you have sent to pass out amongst us the gifts. May we be wise enough to receive them. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Would you look with me into Isaiah? Isaiah chapter 61. And as we look at Isaiah, I'm going to read 1 through 4 and 8 through 11. But I want you to realize that what Isaiah is saying comes in a setting, and I will begin to flesh that out in a second. But Isaiah is just like us. He wakes up one morning and God speaks to him. He's been waiting for God. Have you waited for God? Or do you speak what you've heard someone else say? You regurgitate what the world is saying? Or do you hear what God alone says? Listen to what God said to Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, and that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. And then verse 8 through 11. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offerings. I will direct their work in truth and make them with them an everlasting covenant. Their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles and their offspring among the people. All who see them shall acknowledge them. They are the prosperity whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as the bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, as the bride adorns herself with jewels. For the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth. So the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Isaiah was waiting for that message. Isaiah was home. He was back in Jerusalem when he heard these words. Now, he had a tough time. For 50 years, he had been a captive. For 50 years, he had been in a desert concentration camp. And now he's back in Jerusalem, and that's the good news. The bad news is that Jerusalem is a post-war wreck. The temple is destroyed. It's in ruins. The streets are inhabited by thieves and murderers and robbers. There's hostility and corruption around every corner. The houses have been torn apart. The rocks that they were built with have been used for the barns of their enemies. He is in a state of despair. And he's waiting for the good news from the Lord. He wants the Lord to speak to him words that are words of healing. Words that are words of hope. Words that are true. He wants to know, how long must we wait? God speaks through Isaiah a great promise. God is going to bring healing to a people. He's going to bind up the brokenhearted. He's going to take their grief and their suffering and exchange it for praise and adoration. He has set the captives free from bondage of their political incarceration. And now, God changes the songs and the poems of his people, the hearts of his people, from dirges, from songs that are pathetic, all about us. We hear those kind of songs today. Changes those eulogies into songs of hope and joy. It gives them a new, uncrushed optimism. An optimism that they can believe the Word of God, that the Word of God is there for them, just like it's for us. If it is not for us, then we are of all men most miserable. But if it is for us, if this promise is for us, then all the things that hurt us fall into the background. That is what God did. God, through Isaiah, gave word to the people that they could turn away from their wickedness, and they could turn away from their sorrows, and they could turn away from their grief, because God was promising that one day he would take charge and he would send someone. They would be oaks of salvation, trees of righteousness. And that message gave hope to the people, and they rose up and they grabbed it like the brass ring on a merry-go-round. They reached out for it, and they were able to catch it. They caught it, and what it did was lift their spirits. They were no longer a people who were despairing, that looked at their temple and said, how can that ever be rebuilt? Or looked at their town, their wonderful Jerusalem that they had come back to, and said, it's all destroyed, it's filled with corruption, and there's nothing that can ever do anything for it. They began to understand that it was up to them to reach out to the thieves and the murderers, to the spirit that was amongst the people of poverty and anger, and to become trees of righteousness, to preach to them and then to all the world the love, the mercy, the grace, the forgiveness of God. I gave them a purpose to get up in the morning. You know, there was people here who I've had to find jobs for once they retired. They thought that that was just going to be great and they were going to be able to sit down and take it easy. None of you have been able to take it easy, have you? Nobody has, because I found jobs to keep them active, to keep them working, to keep them involved with things so that you know that that involvement gives you a purpose for getting up in the morning. Gives you a purpose to think about others instead of yourself. It gives you a purpose to look beyond the pain that you have to the pain that you're relieving in someone else. God, in His mercy, allowed in the interim between the waiting for the something and the deliverance of that, to have that spirit that makes all of us more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. That spirit that makes us endure the pain that we have today, knowing that there is a greater relief than we could ever get out of a bottle or a pill or a shot or anything that the world has to offer. We know that God is going to be there for us because He promised to be. And we know it. Whether we have one eye or two eyes, or whether we walk with 1 foot or 2 feet, or whether we can't walk at all, we know that God is there with us. And that gives us a special kind of hope. A hope that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Nothing. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Nothing like that can happen to you because you belong to God and you have made a choice. And that choice was that while you're waiting, you'll be actively engaged in being obedient to His will. That's the reason that we come, we see a child and a manger in Bethlehem, that's no longer a sentimental matter. That's no longer a matter where we go, oh, look at the little baby, or look at the little baby here, or watch the little baby there, or do that. No, it's not that. It's a calling to obedience. God's love was pressed out before us, and we need to do something in response. There's many ways to do it. The Christian faith seeks not only to produce a new life in you, new people, but it is to produce new kingdoms, the kingdom of our Lord here on earth. It is to produce new communities. Our God makes all things new. That's good news. It is good news that I'm not going to go into heaven looking like this. Good grief. I walked into a mall the other day and I saw a Santa sitting there and he waved at me. I wasn't looking for his job. That is a problem that we all face. All of us face it all the time. God's not through with me yet. It's a little old saying, but it is a true saying. God's not finished with me. Yes, I'm not going to go into heaven looking like this. And He has touched me. I give God credit. God has blessed me. He's taken me from the deathbed to where I am today. I had frozen shoulders, and I've gone through torture with those people. Those people, I swear, those people are masochists that I was sent to. They love to hear me cry out in pain. But I can raise my hands now without hurting. I can put on my own jacket without Sandra having to put it on me. That's good. I can change a light bulb without it hurting. I can do things because God has healed me now. But God has got greater things than I can imagine waiting for me later. Sometimes I want it right now. But that's what God does, is make everything new. He doesn't just change its costume. I used to change costumes. I could become an old man, a young man, or whatever I wanted to be just by changing costumes. And, you know, I'd have a different costume. I'd be a different person. My wife hated it when I wore a suit. She hated it because she said it makes you someone else. And I was just like that. And so I started dressing down and I get too sloppy. And she says, I want you to look more like a pastor. She's never satisfied with the way I look. But the facts are that we can't in this world imagine the goodness and the grace of what God has set aside for us. He's not just changing our dress, our exterior, kind of what we wear. He changes us. He changes us. He makes us new creatures in Christ Jesus. But that same God who can take a broken city or a broken life and turn it around, change it into a new creature, into a new city and newness of life. That same God who can do that can do anything. You remember Jesus was walking in the desert for 40 days of temptation, you know? And after he got through the 40 days of temptation, he went back to his home in Nazareth. He sat down in a small little place, a little place where they worship God, a little synagogue, and they worship God there. Sat in the mercy seat, they gave him the scroll to read, as was their custom. 400 years after Isaiah had made this promise, he read these words. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion. He shut the scroll up. You remember what he said? This day has this prophecy been fulfilled in your hearing. Do you believe that? I pray that you do. I pray that you receive Jesus Christ, who is the one who can change everything and make all things new, who can touch you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, heal you in every possible way, who can take your brokenness and your oldness and everything that is about you and transform it into brand new creatures. You know, sometimes I think there's evidence of that. My wife had a party at her house, at our house. I know it's our house because I'm allowed to sleep there. So in any case, she had a party and the ladies were laughing and stuff, and there was one lady who went and who never goes, and she said, I didn't realize they had such a sense of humor. She saw Sandra stealing stuff. And Betty was helping her. And it was one of those white elephant things where you're supposed to, and she was out there doing her thing. Why? Well, they didn't realize that we are made new. We're not old fogies just sitting around frowning at people. We're full of life and joy, willing to share with others. That's who we are. That's who we are as a people. That's who we are because we're God's people. God makes us new. He can make us new today. He can make you new today. All you have to do is say, what am I been waiting for? It's been there all along. God's promises have always been for you. Have you not taken them? God says, you have not, for you ask not. Or you ask not aright. A right means just asking for something for selfish reasons. Do you want more life because you want to serve God more? Or do you want more life because you just simply want more life? God loves you. He will. And He can transform each of us into a new creature. He wants to do it today.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 11:05 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.